Now, there we go. Well, I gotta say, it is good to be back home. I've been home just a little over 2 months now, and it don't get old. I gotta say that if for some reason you decide to leave the country, do not do it. There's nothing on the other side of that water you need to see unless it's a quick vacation and coming back. And I can tell you, I've gone over there twice now. There's nothing I wanted to see the first time, much less the second time. I did what I had to do. I come home. Lord guided me through it all, and I praise Him for it. It's good to have you home. I'm sure your journey's been very unique in its own. Every journey's always different, and the Lord takes care of us all. And you know, I had another message, a whole other message planned for tonight, and the Lord switched it on me yesterday. It's always good when that happens. At least you know the Lord's talking to you. Amen. I went through my notes, and I had actually come up with this message. He laid this on my heart the last time I was in the desert, and I would sit on my days off in the library and study, and I'd write, and not just anything that was on my mind, I would just write it down. I mean, I figured at some point I may be able to use it, but some of it may be useless. But he gave me a message on vision, and that's the title of the message tonight, is The Vision. Not a vision, the vision. And I'm going to start with my verse tonight in Proverbs chapter 29. Now, I just want to say, I thank the Lord for saving me. Amen. I heard His testimony, and you know, the Lord saved me. I was 15 years old. I surrendered to preach when I was 17. And, you know, growing up the way I grew up, you know, I was not introduced to church until I was about 14 years old, almost 15, and I started going to church, and the Bible brought me in. The Lord brought me in really quick. I believed what I heard, and I wanted what I heard. Amen. And it didn't take long for me, and same with my wife. You know, she grew up, she was raised Catholic, and when I met her, you know, I brought her to church, and that was one thing, you know, I told her I would. She was going to go to church with me, and she didn't, about 3 or 4 services, she got saved. Amen. She knew what she wanted to, and I praise the Lord for that. I feel like that's who the Lord put in my life. You know, amen. She wanted God that quick, and that made me feel good that I felt like I made the right decision, and God gave me the right person. So, amen. But tonight, I want to start out saying, what is vision? We all have it, of course. I mean, there's people that, you know, that don't see, that don't have physical vision, but they have mental vision. You can explain something to them, and they understand what you're saying. They can picture it in their mind what it could look like. You know, and that goes a long way. And I always, every time I preach, I think I've given you a dictionary, a definition of what I'm after. And I looked it up, and to be just the Webster's Dictionary, it had a very good definition. It says the power of seeing. The vision is the power of seeing. Something seen in a dream, a trance, or supernaturally revealed. A mental image, something or someone of great beauty. Now that's coming from Webster's Dictionary. It says something or someone of great beauty. Now, who does that in our life resemble? That's Jesus Christ. He's that someone of great beauty. Amen. He's that vision in our heart, in our mind. He's what makes us go each day. He puts something out there to make you go for it. Right. To make you want to bring that lost person to church. Or to when you see somebody having a down day, He gives us words of encouragement to give them a vision. He is our vision. I feel like it is our job to be that lost person's vision. I mean, we're not always going to live perfect and be right. I mean, people are, of course, going to find flaws in us. The world always looks for our flaws. But if we shine as right as we can be and show them that light, then they're always going to have that vision. They can't say that they're blind. My next thing is, who had a vision? And I went through the Bible and I found a couple of people that in different ways had a vision. And my first one, I never read my verse of scripture. Sorry. I'm in Proverbs 29, chapter 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keep the law, happy is he." It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Of course, you know, we can't see, you can't go, you can't do. You don't have no instruction. People are, the human race alone is, we're not very smart people. We have to have instruction. That's why God made this Bible, to give us that instruction. So we can have no excuse of why we're not going the right way or not doing the right thing. We have no excuse. And I looked up who had a vision. The first person I found was in Mark chapter 11 and verse 46. It's blind Bartimaeus. It says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the high wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Right there, Jesus gave Bartimaeus a physical sight. He was blind. He wanted to see. And you know, he went ahead and even though the people told him, you know, be quiet, you know, leave him, you shouldn't approach him this way. You know, Jesus called him down. Jesus wanted him to come to him. Right. He wanted to know what he wanted, and all he had to do was ask. He wanted his sight, and Jesus granted it. Sometimes it's just as easy as asking him, "Lord, what should I do? How should I go? Where should I go? How should I be? Just give me that sight." The Lord sometimes he just reveals it that easy, but there's other times it may not be so easy. It may be sending you off somewhere and you're not really sure of where you're going. But if you just trust him, he's that sight. He is your sight sometimes. Just close your eyes and follow him. Sometimes you just got to reach out and trust God, and he's going to reach down to hand you. There's no failing in him, and there's no flaws in him. He's not weak. He's a strong and powerful God. If he's got enough power to give a man sight, what do you think he could do for you? He can do anything. Amen. You just got to trust him. He's that leader. He is the vision. There's been leaders and people in the past that say they have a dream, or they have a wish, or they have an image of how things should be. Well, God gave us this vision. This is not a vision or a type of vision. It is the vision. And it can't go but one way. It's got to be a good thing. Not saying that vision is always a good thing, because it can be flipped around to a bad thing. If you don't control what you do or what you watch, or who you watch, you could pattern your life after the wrong person or the wrong thing, or have a bad example in life. There's things in my mind that I've saw that I've prayed to God, please take this from me, but he's not going to. Not that he wouldn't, but it's your memory. Your memory sometimes holds things that you wish they couldn't hold. I mean, there's things that you do before you're saved that you just pray. I've laid and cried at night and wished God would take these images away from me. And he can't. I mean, he could, but he's not. He leaves them there, I think, to remember where you came from. To remember why you came to him. You came to him for a purpose. For that vision. To look past what you've done wrong and how you've misled people. I've done things and been places that I a lot of times don't even want to discuss. The only person that knows a lot about me is my wife. And it hurts. I can't erase some of the visions that God's put in my life, but I think He uses a training tool, an aid to make me a better person. But I can never erase it. Sometimes I can look in the back of my mind and it hurts. Because of the decisions I made at a young age, it hurts. And now I'm scarred for life. I wish that I could go back and have a life that they have at a young age as a Christian parent, but I didn't. So now I have to overcome. I have to go a different way. I have to make my family different. And that's all I can do. I have to erase what was burned in my life and make a new one. Make it, burn it with something else. Burn it with the good. Burn it with this Bible. That's why when I'm away and I'm gone and I can't be here with you, and I know you're praying for me while I'm gone, I read this Bible daily, and I ask God, please, take this hurdle from me. I had more trouble this time overseas than I did the first time. I struggled the first 2 weeks I was there. I didn't even feel like a man. I cried every day the first 2 weeks. I hurt so bad because I wanted to be at home. I wanted to be with my wife. I wanted to be in my church with you. I wanted to be here serving God, and I couldn't be. Don't never turn your back on Him. Cherish this church. Cherish your pastor. We have a wonderful pastor. We have a wonderful church family. I thank God for this church. You know, the next person I had in the Bible is Zacchaeus. Over in Luke chapter 19. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." He was short like me. "And he ran before and climbed up to a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw him, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation. Come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Right here, he told Zacchaeus to make haste. That means quickly. Now, right now, come down. Make haste. He wanted to abide at that house. You know, Zacchaeus had his sight already. He had a physical image of Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, but because he was short, he couldn't. So he made a way to see over everyone so he could see him. But Jesus came by his way, and he knew he was there. He called him down, and then he got to see Jesus face to face. You know, how special would that be? Is that going to be to see Jesus face to face? There's going to be a day where we're not going to have to climb up a tree to be taller than the other people in front of us or around us to see our Lord. No, we're going to get to confront Him face to face and actually be able to say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for giving me that opportunity, for being that vision, for being my sight every day that gave me that made my heart beat another beat every day. To want something, to give my life to you, to give my things to you, to be guided by you. How good it feels to wake up knowing we have a Savior that can guide us through every single day, without a doubt." You know, Zacchaeus was, you know, it said he was to give to, he wanted to restore anybody that he took from by accusation fourfold. You know, the Lord went with him and made it possible for him to be right. So you know, as a Christian, by being here, he just by coming to him, he can make our ways right. It's that simple. He wants to be with you. He wants to be in your home, in your daily life, in your workplace, with your friends. He is your friend. He sticks closer than a brother. You know, I'm going to say, when I started out, I had a vision. I had a vision of how things would be, or how I wanted things to be, and things don't always go the way you have them in your mind, or the way you think they should go. God has a way that they should, that they're supposed to go, and that He makes them go. And, you know, there is sometimes that you can stray away and maybe go the wrong way, and the Lord may let you to teach you a lesson. The Lord may let you go the wrong way, and you come back to Him and, "Lord, I messed up." And He said, "Yes, you did. I had a way for you to go, but you didn't pray about it." When I started out, before I ever joined the military, I prayed that the Lord would make this a right decision. "Lord, I want something. I need a head start in life. I had no other way to go. The military was the best way I had. I mean, it was going to give me a degree and a home and everything. It's taking care of me. And the Lord has blessed it. Fortunately, I've had to go and do some things that I didn't really want to do, but I feel like that was part of the job. But I feel like that the Lord has blessed everything I've done. I don't feel like I've ever been punished. I've never done without. He's always taken care of me and my wife both. He's given me a church that loves us and wants us here. And I mean, here lately, I've had to work a lot. And I can't help that. I've had to work weekend duty a lot. I mean, our tasking has picked up a lot for some reason. And I don't like it, but there's nothing I can do about it. But I love being here. And the Lord has given me a church that I have a vision for, that I want to fight for, that makes me want to be here, that makes me want to love the people and love what I do for the Lord. And then my next thing is, I have a vision of home, not of going a home here, but the home in glory. I have a vision that, you know, we're very, very close to going home. You know, I was just listening to them, the choir playing, or the orchestra playing their instruments, and to me, that trumpet stood out more than any other instrument. And I know as well as every other Christian in here, you're waiting on that trumpet to sound. I am, and you know, that gives me, that just hearing that, just it feels good inside. You know you're going to hear that one day. We got that vision, and it's just the smallest things in life can give you that extra reach out, that extra vision, that sight that you need to carry on. Just hearing that song just made you hear them. Hearing that trumpet play made me realize, you know, that there's going to be a day we hear that trumpet, the one trumpet that you want to hear, the loud one, the one that's going to be very distinct. You know, before you're saved, you don't have a vision of heaven. Every lost people think that when their people die, you know, oh, they're in a better place. That's not true. And it's sad. They don't know any better. They don't have a vision. They're blind. The lost in world is blind. They don't see what we see. They don't know what we know. But it's our job to give them that vision. Give them this book. If they can see, they can read, and if they can hear, it can be read to them. God's got a way of reaching everybody, and before He comes back, He's going to reach everybody. You know, and the last person that had a vision was Jesus Christ. That's where it all started. From day one, Jesus, had He not had a vision for us, where would we go? We would all go to hell. Jesus had that vision of Calvary, of the cross. He knew what He had to do. He did it for us. He did it for our loved ones, our children, and all the way down, everyone. He went to that. He had a vision of what things should be. And He wanted everyone to come to Him, to follow Him, to trust Him. You know, why is it so hard for the world to surrender their lives to Him. It was, to me, I found it very easy. I had nothing, and it was offered to me everything, eternal life. Amen. And I chose it. Amen. I was so thankful to fall on my face and thank God for that vision. Amen. That He had to give me a vision. And now I have a vision to give to any lost person that I run across. My last thing is, why do we have a vision? I think we have them to know what we want, to help us show the lost where they need to go and how they need to be. You know, what do you see every day when you wake up? You see all the pretty colors and nature and life and everything. We take seeing sometimes as for granted. We don't appreciate it. But a lot of times you can close your eyes and you can see more than you can with them open. You just got to think about all the many blessings that God has given you, the grace that He's given and put in your life that's allowed you to have a vision. You know, if you're here tonight and you're lost, something is in your heart. You must have had a vision. You came tonight wanting something, especially if you're lost. Christians come to be faithful to God and to eat and be fed by the book and by the songs and the singing. Christians come to learn, but a lost person here tonight would come because they need something. They're yearning for something. What is it? If you're lost, what is it that you need? You have that vision. You had to have had something that made you come back. You're 15 steps away. Even if you're on the back row, it's not that far. It's not. You've come this far. All the Lord wants is you to just step out. He's given you the vision, the ability, and by you getting saved, you could give someone else a vision. Don't waste your opportunity. Don't regret and have to deal with those things that are burning in the back of your mind. I know we all have bad thoughts and things that we wish we could forget. Come to Him. Please come to Him.
Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Get ready, a hymn of invitation here in just a moment. He preached a message to saved, to lost, about vision. If you're here tonight and you're lost, certainly you're trying to find something. You're seeking for something. God wants you to see His love for you. That's why He gives us the songs that we sing and the messages that are preached and people that are sitting there around you. Tonight, why don't you come and trust the Lord? Just by grace, by faith, come and give your life to Him. We preach to the saved people. We need to have a vision. God's shown us His love. He's shown us His mercy. He's shown us His grace. We've experienced salvation. We've experienced the joy of having Christ in our lives, in our hearts, in our souls. And He's given us that vision that we've been able to see these things at work in our lives. We need to share that with others. As God has spoken to you tonight, I want you to obey Him. Would you do that? As God has spoken to you, would you come and say, Lord, increase my vision. Lord, help me to see even in a greater way. Help me to increase. Help me to see clearer. Help me to know Your path and Your plan. Help me to follow it. Father, we pray in Jesus' name tonight that Your blessed will would be done in this time of invitation. We know, Lord, that You're at work in people's hearts and lives in this place at this hour. We trust, Lord, that we'll see people being obedient to Thee in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's quietly stand to our feet. Brother Chris is going to sing.